Father, we open our hearts to you this day. And we pray, Lord, that you'd reveal what it is that we need to grow in our faith and trust in you, that we'd become more like your son, Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. So we all face the circumstances of our lives differently. So life coach Gary Van Warmerdam wrote about a recent client of his who was trying to lose weight. Well, after some early success, she couldn't figure out, why she was still eating the same things that she always did. And so her weight loss had stopped. And with some investigation, she discovered an idea in her mind that had formed long ago. She felt deprived if she wasn't able to eat everything that she wanted. She ate food to avoid those feelings. And this unconscious belief was driving her to unwanted behaviors so she wasn't able to lose weight anymore. So our actions, the actions in our lives, don't happen by chance. But they're products of strong beliefs, things that we hold in our mind that drive us to lead the kind of life that we lead. And these choices that we make impact us when we're facing the different circumstances of our lives. They're belief systems that drive us to make certain choices. The best indication of what you believe is the way that you are living your life right now. So I want to invite you to turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. We're looking at verses 14 through 20, the gospel reading this morning, as we consider the beliefs of our actions in the various circumstances of our lives. Now in Mark chapter 1, Jesus Christ, God incarnate, breaks into our world and he announces that time has been fulfilled. He says the kingdom of God is at hand. And as a result, we now stand at a critical juncture in human history. And how we respond to these events will determine the course of our eternity. Do we face life circumstances with the belief in Christ and his kingdom? Or with the belief that it all depends on us? Now, from the gospel, we know that people responded to Jesus in different ways. So in Mark chapter 14, we have the woman who anointed Jesus with a costly perfume. It was the thing that mattered the most to her. But it demonstrated her complete devotion and love to Jesus. And by contrast, in Mark chapter 3, we have the teachers of the law who accused Jesus of driving out demons by satanic powers and later sought to kill him. How is it that people could respond to Jesus in such conflicting ways? What we believe will impact not only our actions, but how we respond to Jesus. And so what is it that you really believe? So I came to faith when I was a teenager. And when I was in college, I was part of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship and was really involved. And then later out of college, I joined a church. I even taught Sunday school. And despite this, how I was living was not really any different than it ever had been. Even though I was a Christian, I would call myself a Christian, I still held on to a belief that life depended on me, my competency, my abilities. Identification of a Christian had not profoundly impacted the way that I lived my life and the choices that I made. And when we live life with a worldly mindset, as I did, God is absent from the normal rhythms of our lives, even though we may profess to be followers of Jesus. We place a premium on our autonomy and our self-fulfillment. We understand that the opportunities that we have and the successes we enjoy are products of our hard work and intelligence. You know, I look back to the way that I lived, and it's apparent to me that I had a worldly mindset. How do I know this? Because it was circumstances and rational thinking that guided the choices that I made, not the voice of the Lord. So in my early 30s, I got a job that promised more money and more responsibility. And I remember sitting down with a friend, and we wrote down the pluses and minuses of taking this job. And I still remember that. And even though it would mean moving across the country, I ultimately decided it must be the will of God that I do this. And it was one factor in particular that drove me to that decision, and it was this. The desire of my heart. The desire of my heart wanted this. And because God gives us the desires of our heart, it must be the will of God, right? Well, not always. And not even mostly. It was also the Israelites' desire to return to Egypt. But it was clearly not God's will. It was David's desire to build a temple for the Lord. But God told him that he had shed too much blood. It was Jesus' desire not to lay down his life, but the voice of the Father clearly told him to do otherwise. So a worldly mindset doesn't take time to seek or listen to the voice of God. Rather, we look inside of ourselves, to our circumstances, and rational thoughts to make decisions. Because, you know, God has given us the mind of Christ, right? And so a larger paycheck must mean that God wants me to have a bigger house and a brand new car. A wrong done against me must mean I'm supposed to retaliate. The loss of a spouse must mean I'm supposed to move across country to be near my family. And getting old must mean I'm supposed to retire. The biggest problem with the worldly mindset is that it puts us in a position where we become incapable of hearing the voice of God because we already know from our circumstances how we're supposed to act. Circumstances is our determination, not the voice of God. So let's consider a worldly mind. Let's contrast this worldly mindset with the kingdom mindset that Jesus was offering in Mark chapter 1. So the advent of Jesus changed everything. We can't live our lives. We can't endure the circumstances of our lives in the same way anymore. The coming of Jesus and his kingdom will force us to restructure our lives. As Jesus begins his ministry in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, he's saying the coming of the kingdom requires two actions from us. The first is repentance, and the second is belief. So repentance is the acknowledgement that we've been going in the wrong direction, that we've lived life with wrong priorities, wrong choices, wrong behaviors. In the coming of Jesus, we've decided to turn around our lives and to follow him. That's repentance. And every would-be follower of Jesus must repent of living life apart from God. It's not just having this belief on the side. It's actually saying, the whole direction of my life has been the wrong direction. And now I'm following Jesus. And that leads to the second requirement, which is belief. So a kingdom perspective believes that Jesus is king and Lord of all. Not just Lord over the heavens and the earth, but that he's Lord over us, over our lives, over everything. And that means there can't be anything that we hold back from him. A kingdom perspective gives up the right to personal autonomy. We are not our own anymore. We now belong to him. You know, we see this dramatically in Mark chapter 1 when Jesus comes over to the sons of Zebedee, James and John. So they were fishermen who happened to be mending their nets when Jesus comes along. And upon seeing them, Jesus said to them, "Follow me." And look at what they did. They were able to hear his voice, and they put their faith in him. They left their father and their career to follow him. Now, that could have meant hardship for their father. But look at what these brothers did. They hired servants to help their dad so that nothing would prevent them from being obedient to the voice of Jesus. And that is what making Jesus Christ Lord of our lives means. So as we face the circumstances of our lives, belief gives us a kingdom perspective. In Jesus' kingdom, there is no scarcity. There is no lack. All things are possible. In 2022, Edwin Castro won the $2 billion Powerball drawing. And since then, he has purchased two multi-million dollar homes as well as a vintage vehicle. So prior to this, Castro was living in a one-bedroom apartment, and now he lived in a 14,000-square-foot mansion that boasts an infinity pool, five bedrooms, and seven bathrooms. He's in the position to buy whatever he wants. Now, some of us think that if we won the lottery, then now everything would be possible. That you'd be able to give generously, that this church would never have to worry again. We'd have the building, everything that we need if we just won the lottery. Well, let me tell you something, and you need to hear this. You have something better than a lottery jackpot. Don't choose the jackpot over what you have. You have the kingdom of God at your disposal. And in that kingdom, all things are possible. We have all that we need personally and as a church. And if Jesus can feed 5,000 with five loaves and two fish, then he can meet all of our needs, no matter what we face in this life. A kingdom perspective sees every circumstance with new eyes. And that's because in the kingdom, the miraculous is normative. The whole premise of Christianity is based on a miracle. It's based on the miracle that Jesus' son rose from the dead. Now, we don't typically experience this in our normal lives, right? You know, I've never seen a resurrection before. But to hold a kingdom perspective means believing something that you can't prove. You believe in a reality that you can't see with your eyes. The spiritual reality of the kingdom of God. And that perspective causes us to look at every circumstance differently in our lives. In a worldly mindset, all you see is the trials and difficulties and problems. And you see, oh, I don't have the ability to handle this. What do I do? And we panic and we try to do something. But with a kingdom perspective, the circumstances merely provide a backdrop. Lord, what do you want to do with this? Because you're Lord and all things are possible with you. And through these circumstances, we learn to trust God and to see his power operating in our lives and in the world. In 1 Corinthians 7 that we read this morning, Paul makes it clear that each of us has a God-given calling, every one of us. And therefore, the circumstances and conditions of our lives will be unique because we all have a unique call with a unique set of gifts. As we go through life, Paul says in verse 20 of that chapter, to remain in the condition in which you were called. In other words, We shouldn't make the focus of our lives trying to change our situation or become depressed if things aren't going our way. You know, when the Israelites were journeying in the wilderness after the Exodus, you remember how they constantly got discouraged by the circumstances they faced. Lord, why is there no water? Why is there no meat? Why does Moses keep telling us what to do? They thought the answer was to go back to Egypt. You know, this looks bad. I must have to go back to Egypt. But God was teaching them not to rely on themselves or get discouraged by their circumstances. Rather, they were turned to him for contentment, provision, and purpose. You know, I wish I had meditated on these scriptures earlier in my life. Between the ages of 19 and 37, I moved 10 times. And that's a move every 21 months, often to far off places. As I contemplated these moves, I was often filled with confusion. Lord, what is your will? And now I know that we don't change our circumstances unless God clearly directs us to do so. It's easy then. I'm waiting for your voice, Lord. What are you saying? What are you saying to me? You know, living with a kingdom perspective will create space in our lives so that we can be available to the Lord to carry out his will in our lives. Nothing's a coincidence. All the people who come along our path have been put there by the Lord. Jesus intends to build his kingdom through us. The question is, will he be able to use our lives? A kingdom perspective sees people differently. Rather than judging them, we see them as lost souls who desperately need the love of God. Our actions today, at this moment, may impact the generations of this nation more than we might fathom. So several years ago, I read a book called The Lost History of Christianity. And its author, Philip Jenkins, contrasts two ancient Christian civilizations, the church in Carthage in northern Africa and the Coptic church in Egypt. One no longer exists, and the other continues to thrive. So at Carthage was the home of some of the great Christian leaders, Tertullian, Cyprian, Augustine, all came from Carthage. But it failed to carry out their faith beyond the Romanized inhabitants of the cities. So these were the educated people who spoke Latin, but the average person didn't speak Latin. They spoke Berber. The church showed no interest in reaching out to them. And when the Arabs conquered the area in the 7th century, the Berber-speaking people rapidly converted to Islam, while the Latin-speaking people immigrated to Europe. And so the church disappeared in a generation. Now, by contrast, the Coptics in Egypt shared the gospel with their neighbors in the language of the local people spoken, Coptic, a language that derived from the pyramid builders. So ingrained was Christianity in the culture that when the Arabs conquered the land, they were not able to uproot the Christian faith of the people. And so even today, Egypt has a population of Christian, about 10% of the total. A kingdom perspective will make it a priority to pray for the lost people, to take time to invest in others, and when possible, to make invitations to church or to Bible studies. Today, in some places in Europe, like France, there are now more mosques than there are churches. Christianity is practically dead. And the same could be true of this country in a generation. So the answer is not more laws favorable to Christians. Stop pursuing that. The answer is having a kingdom perspective that takes seriously the call of Jesus to make disciples. You see, it's up to us It's up to the Spirit of God working through us, not politics, to change things. We will never fully be able to join Christ proclaiming the kingdom of God unless we fully put our faith in Christ and his kingdom. So let's give up worldly, secular thinking and say yes to Jesus, whose voice is there to help us in every circumstances we face. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this morning, we pray that you would open our hearts to you. And here's the good news about coming before you. We know we can be honest with you. We know we don't have to pretend. We know that we don't have to present ourselves as we aren't, but we can genuinely be honest. And I pray that you would just speak into each person here today. Lord, what kind of mindset do I have? Do I have a worldly mindset that looks at things for what I see with my eyes, or do I have a kingdom perspective? Speak to each of us this morning. And if the Lord is showing you that you are living life with a secular, worldly mindset, here's the good news. God loves you, and it's by his grace that he's revealed that to you. Just repent. Acknowledge that. Just ask him to change your heart and give you a desire for his kingdom. Lord, mold each one of our lives and use them for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.